hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM/FM Shortwave.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. Welcome to the program today. It is Friday, the 28th of December, 2007. On today's program, I want to bring a gentleman on. He's from Canada, here in a couple of minutes. He's been doing a couple of programs on this network, but I wanted to get him on my program to make sure that, well, just about everybody that listens to this network listens to my program, and I want to make sure that everybody understands this story. Aaron James will join me here in a few minutes. And this is about an overreaction, I guess you could call it that, from the police. But, ladies and gentlemen, because we have this Al-Qaeda boogeyman hiding in the baggage compartments on board aircraft, they're just swarming all over every airport around the world. They have convinced the watchdogs, and that's the ones that carry the badges and the guns, that there is imminent threat and they have got to take corrective action immediately. In other words, it's the old Johnny Six-Gun thing, shoot first and ask questions later. Now, if you'll remember, at the Vancouver International Airport, a woman that immigrated, and I think she was Polish, she immigrated from Poland, her name was Zosia Elzanski. At the Vancouver Airport, well, her son was tasered. He was coming in from a flight from Frankfurt. He did not speak one word of English. Evidently, the man that was generally calm and had no history whatsoever of any violence got a little upset in an airport. He was afraid that he had missed connections with his mother. He was in a strange land. He did not know the language. Nobody could understand the guy. And he went a little off the deep end. I've done the very same thing in airports as well, folks, but I did not get tasered. Well, Zosia, her only son, is dead because of that tasering incident. Now, keep in mind that there have been 290 deaths in the United States attributable to tasers, 15 in Canada. 11,000 police departments across this country, here in the U.S., use these taser guns. And I did this story the other day on tasers. And my position on this tasering is simply this. The nightstick wasn't good enough. The gun is too final. So we're going to use something less than lethal force to subdue our people that we want to interview and question further and or arrest and cuff. We're going to use the tasers in the interim. It's non-lethal. It's been approved. Don't worry about it. Shut up. Sit down. Well, you tell that to the 290 people that are dead here in this country. And my guest coming up after this break, Aaron James, was maybe almost one of those. They think that it's a procedural thing to do. It's safe for the officer and it's safe for the subject. Now, I don't know how 50,000-volt torture item would fit into the Geneva Convention, folks, but we can't do this to prisoners of war. But yet they're doing it to citizens of the U.S. and citizens of Canada. It's not an issue of tasering. It's the idea that these people have allowed themselves and given themselves authority to use these devices. We'll speak to Aaron James right after this break.
Mm-hmm. The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to safecastleroyal.com. That's safecastleroyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000 plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
You know, is it any wonder, ladies and gentlemen, that the U.S. government will not define what they consider to be torture? For obvious reasons, because they have a new paradigm on how to deal with the animals out here. Oh, the animals, by the way, being you and I. I have Aaron James, his website, ladies and gentlemen. This is getting a lot of attention, and there's a lot of listeners in Canada, so you people up there pay attention particularly. AaronJamesStory.com. Good afternoon, Aaron.
Good afternoon, Don.
I appreciate you coming up on the program. I just watched your presentation, the video that you did with you and your mother, that's Linda.
Yes.
Linda James. And I just finished watching that. And first of all, let's digress here. Let's just start from page one here. You were on a flight to the Mayo Clinic. You were on your way back on a Northwest Airlines flight?
Correct.
And your mother was with you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you're on board the flight. Take it from there.
Well, that's even taking one step too many. We arrived without our baggage on our way down. We'd gone to the Mayo Clinic to see about an injury to my arm, which would require surgery. I had the use of actually only one arm when I was attacked on board the aircraft on the way back. But going back to the beginning, we arrived in Rochester without our baggage. The airline had claimed that they had simply misplaced it, that it would be returned to our hotel when it was found, and so this baggage was delivered to our hotel approximately 3 hours later in the following condition described. Locks cut, baggage rummaged through, search, with a note to that effect delineating that those provisions had been taken, also outlining the fact that this was done due to security concerns. We had been profiled, and they were not at all shy in telling us that that had been done for those reasons. Mm-hmm. We had gone about our business for the three-day duration during which we were there in Rochester, Minnesota, came and had lodged a complaint with the Northwest Airlines desk in Rochester upon our return flight 3 days later. When I had mentioned that I would like a complaint form, that was fine. And when I mentioned that perhaps the complaint would be in the context of profiling, the individual ripped the complaint form from my hand and said, well, you won't be needing this then, will you? We were attacked. I was left in a pool of blood on the return flight. What had happened is that only after we passed through security, which should have put a stop hold on any unwanted profiling. I mean, if you're going to be profiled, the time to be subject to that is usually before you pass through the gates.
Right.
But no, there was a certain amount of entrapment involved, and that the corporation sensed a potential financial loss. Northwest Airlines was on the verge of bankruptcy, had anti-bankruptcy insurance claims at that time, and the last thing that they wanted was a profiling lawsuit against them. And so only once we were on the aircraft was my mother accused of harboring the suspicious bag, which is the default fallback smear campaign against the individuals for
profiling.
Okay, now
let me slow you down here. Now, this is was this a carry-on bag that she obviously had brought through the security at the airport?
Correct.
She was cleared at that point?
Correct.
Okay, now you're on board the aircraft, the plane is in flight, and who approached her about this suspicious bag?
Airline stewardess Sherry Caudill, C-A-U-D-I-L-L. Her comment at a trial that would later ensue, and I don't mean to jump back and forth, but just to put this in this proper context,
right.
We are trained to kill before we are killed. And before I move on with the story, just to put Northwest Airlines, the airline on which we were attacked, in its proper context, Northwest Airlines is a CIA affiliate, which I outline on the site. They have given the 6,000 CDs to the FBI for the purposes of developing their CAP system, computer-assisted profiling system, which is out of Israel, based out of Israel, Tel Aviv. Ron Raffi, who's the former head of security at Tel Aviv Airport, and passed down to be indoctrinated into the United States. And to put the airport in its proper context, they had just finished completing a six-month profiling project between the months of June and December of 2005. We arrived only 18 days later on January 18th of 2006. And when they quote behavioral profiling project as their mandate, you must take a look at that also. The demographics of Minneapolis, 21 minorities and Muslims to every one white within their jail cells inside of Minneapolis, 21 blacks and minorities to every one white. The judiciary having been proven corrupt through Jill Clark Independent Law Office for, quote-unquote, collusion between prosecution and judges to target victims of police brutality, the poor, and minorities. And the airport, the city of Minneapolis, has the highest Muslim population in the capacity of Somalis. Fifth highest Muslim, but the highest Somali population in all of the United States. So these are the demographics. This is the situation. And we were attacked by Minneapolis police, who have now just been exposed in the scandal as having KKK association and are being inundated with a lawsuit to that effect, having passed KKK messages interdepartmentally through their inboxes of the Minneapolis Police Department. Robert Kroll, a crony of Tim Dolan, who is the Minneapolis Police Department chief, now has been seen sporting a KKK or a white power insignia on his shirt, and it goes on from there. So this is the situation, that we were on the wrong airline, quite clearly, and quite clearly in the wrong state to be sporting a dark skin complexion.
Now, as far as the racial profiling, I saw the video. Your mother is white, and you are obviously of dark skin, darker
yes.
skin. So what's the story with that?
Well, my father is from Trinidad.
Okay.
My mother is obviously Canadian. I mean, I have a mix of Trinidad, Austrian, Chinese, et cetera, et cetera.
And the reason I brought it up is because this subject is going to come up here, because And I don't want to get jumped too far ahead, but the police that boarded that plane were not aware that you had a family member there.
And that is very pivotal and critical to this to the plot as it unfolds, yes.
Okay. All right, continue.
All right. Now, given the demographics involved, the airline, the judiciary, Minneapolis, and the aura of profiling, whatnot, well, Canada, I should backtrack, is seen as a safe haven for terrorists. And in North Dakota, South Dakota, you know, the border is also seen as one of the most contentious of those along the border as far as the potential for terrorists. There was just a meeting between Canada and U.S. government in which Harper, already overzealous as the prime minister as far as Homeland Security, was criticized by Condoleezza Rice, Bush, and whatnot, collectively for the lack of control mechanisms as far as foreign policy is concerned on the harboring of or the allowance of commuting of foreign bodies and terrorists into the United States. So there are so many factors that would have precipitated or predisposed us to an attack such as this that are almost immeasurable. Going back to the account, on board the aircraft, Sherry Caudill honed in on my mother immediately and accused her. Well, she said, what's with this bag? Is there a problem here? The thing is, she did it audibly in order to vilify us in front of the audience of the cabin. And in fact, this was the first of five verbal attacks that were meant to create this sort of environment and to, again, villainize us. My mother didn't really know that she was being addressed at the time because we had done nothing wrong, and it seemed very much out of place for a stewardess to be speaking in that kind of tone. But having done this and drawn a great deal of attention, I was in the washroom at the time. I placed the bag down in the side seat, row 8C, and the ostensible guys under which she made this claim, in other words, an issue with this bag, is unfounded in that many of the passengers had not stowed their baggage also. And so there was arbitrary selection of issue with my bag, our bag, to be held here. I came back from the washroom, and in the middle of the aisle, approximately the back third quarter of the aircraft, the stewardess made a beeline towards me from having spoken to my mother, with a cease and desisted from the handout of any other of the passenger information packets, and met me in the bottom at about the rear third quarter of the aircraft. And in passing in the aisle, we passed without incident, but I heard a voice in the distance, not too far back, saying, "Excuse me," in a very shrill tone, unbeknownst to me, in the same manner and mechanism of approach with which she had addressed my mother not moments earlier. I continued on my way, and this voice, "Excuse me," came in the background, and I realized I was being addressed. I turned about to find that there was this very hostile-looking stewardess frowning at me, and she set in upon me verbally, asking me if I had a problem. And this was completely out of left field. I didn't see that there was any justification or substance to such asking me such a thing, and so I simply said no. And I turned to continue walking in the same direction. She said, "Are you sure?" I turned around once again, thinking and noting that this was drawing a lot of unwarranted attention, unwanted attention. I kept my tone fairly soft in order to try to dissipate that to some extent. And I said, "Well, yes, I'm sure. There's no problem here." And I just about to turn about, and all this while I'm actually taking very small but almost imperceptible steps backward, and she's advancing at the same time in this method. And she said, "Well, oh, really?" And I said, well, yes. Can you tell me what is the issue? Well, you know, you passed me by in the aisle, and you didn't say anything to me. Are you aware of that?" And I said, I was quite taken aback. I didn't know how I would respond to something like that. It seemed completely incredulous that this would be made an issue of to begin with. And I said simply, "Oh, well, I'm sorry. Thank you very much." And I continued to my seat. And unbeknownst to me at the time, this had already taken place with my mother. I sat down, and my mother and I began discussing what looked to be some sort of payback measure to the complaint that we had, and we silently decided that we would have as little to do with the stewardess as possible. The stewardess came back, and this is the third point of contention. There would be five. And she addressed my mother, asking about customs forms.
Okay, now hold on right there. Let's pick that up after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're attempting to contact somebody that is coming to your aid. Hopefully we can get her on the program as well. By the way, he's gone to the ACLU. No response from him. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking with Aaron James. The website is aaronjamesstory.com. And just in case you tuned in, you should know by now not to be late for this program. But if you just tuned in, we're talking to Aaron James, accosted on board a Northwest Airlines flight. By the way, in the airline industry, Northwest was known as Northwest. I've had encounters with their personnel as well. At any rate, the man was treated rather rudely, already gone through airport security, cleared, got on board his plane. We have a stewardess that was, well, a little proactive in her job and a little bit too paranoid, escalated a situation, harassing Mr. James and on board the aircraft. And things just went from there. Okay, Aaron, if you would, pick up with your story where you left off.
Well, the stewardess came back ostensibly or under the guise of offering my mother customs forms, having already done so just moments earlier, which would have been in her memory, only to create opportunity for more contentious or discussion that would draw more and further negative attention to us. So she came back. My mother had reminded her very calmly that we had thank you, but we had already received these forms. And she said, well, I'm just doing my job, you know. I have, and this is all very, very standoffish, hostile tone. I have to do my job, you know. I'm after all, I'm a stewardess. And she walked off in a huff. But when she was addressing us, her face was turned not towards us, but squarely down the aisle. It was definitely, we don't feel that her candor or demeanor was incidental, and that based on the complaint form that we had put in several on our connecting flight, one flight earlier, and between that and having been profiled 3 days earlier by that same airline, arriving without our baggage, having had it seized, this was definitely, in our opinion, premeditated, preordained. And so she made issue of this handing out of flight tickets, walked away, and we began discussing what looked to us to be in the unfolding of a very sophisticated plot in order to villainize us and potentially to persecute us further. As we were discussing this, the stewardess came back to our seat and very loudly, again drawing the attention of actually this time most of the aircraft, voiced out, exasperated, "Now, are you talking about me?" And by that point, we had been confronted now four occasions. I think this is the fourth. And I literally looked at her and very softly. Again, I would always address. I would always retort very softly, despite her candor, despite her loud tonality. And I said very softly, I said it with an emphasis that would be quite enough from you. Thank you. And she walked away while saying, "Oh, I don't think you should be on this aircraft. I'm going to have to talk to the captain." And we saw that this was rapidly escalating from 1 to 100 very quickly and very alarmingly. And again, we just reaffirmed that we had wanted absolutely as little to and ideally nothing to do with the stewardess whatsoever. A senior flight attendant, Beverly Banks, came back and actually addressed us, and she asked us what the difficulty was, and we said that there was no difficulty, save for the fact that we wanted no further contact or interaction with this flight attendant, Sherry Caudill. And so, she, having taken this into account and to stop, she went back and spoke to Sherry Caudill, and behind the curtain, we overheard this back and forth while Sherry Caudill protested to what it was that we had claimed. And just at that moment, the PA system came on, and we overheard over the PA system for all passengers to hear, "I didn't do anything. These people are lunatics." That was Sherry Caudill talking. "I didn't do anything. These people are lunatics." At the same stewardess.
Why did she deem it necessary after she staged this dog and pony show? Was this to clear her in the eyes of the rest of the passengers making this proclamation?
No, it's to feed the ideology that's fed in through media propaganda throughout the United States and Canada as regarding the visage of the radicalist jihad or Islamic terrorist about to spew bullets throughout the air, the cabin, and to create an aura of chaos or and dissent.
Okay.
So this is very much a staged proposition. This was in our mind very much preordained and very much very calculated. So at this point, I felt it was necessary to say something in my defense, and so I got up out of my seat, and without invading personal space, without raising my voice, without using any foul language whatsoever, and all this is uncontested, I said, "Would you please reserve your racism and bigotry for someone else? Thank you." And I also addressed Beverly Banks, who was stationed there as well, and I said, "We would appreciate that we'd not be made to deal with this stewardess any further." I walked back to my seat, and Beverly Banks came back and she spoke to us, asking us, you know, so what is the difficulty? And she claims not to have overheard, not to have realized that the comment to the effect of us being lunatics and whatnot was placed over the open PA system. But
she pretended you didn't hear that.
Right, she pretended that she didn't hear that, or that we wouldn't have been aware of that, or however. In fact, she didn't mention it at all. She was reminded of this at a trial that ensued.
Now, let's stop right here, and we'll pick it up after the break, folks. if you think this is an isolated incident and it's never going to happen to you, I would suggest that you reconsider. Nobody is stopping these tasered clowns. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
All right, James, as you're on board this aircraft and you had this exchange with the stewardess, now this plane is obviously on the ground. She made the comments that these people are lunatics on the PA system.
Yes, and that's uncontested at a trial that came out. Those comments that they were made over the open PA system is uncontested. She claims that she wasn't aware of it at the time.
Uh-huh. Okay, so where is the plane at this point? Because the officers boarded the plane.
And the plane is in tow, and I don't want to be disrespectful in deviating from the chronological structure of this ordeal, but just for purposes of personal safety, I just want to highlight a few points, and we can go back and discuss it in detail.
Sure.
As far as getting to the crux of the matter, I'm currently under a threat of extradition to the United States. There I have been effectively framed. Now, although the International Civil Liberties Monitoring Group head, Roch Tassé, was apprised of this problem a long time ago, several months ago, there are several kill Bush, die, radicalist, jihad rhetoric links that link to the same 74-page website that where my URL, aaronjamesstory.com, has been inserted. And whereas, despite a false trial, kangaroo court that had members and affiliates of CIA, FBI, NSA, military, Minneapolis Police, Northwest Airlines, on the jury pool itself, a criminally charged ex-U.S. Marine as judge and judiciary, which has since been proven corrupt through three independent parties. I was found not guilty on all of these offenses, save for the last one, which was introduced last minute, unbeknownst to us, of minor misdemeanor, which is a slap in the face, because you can get a minor misdemeanor charged by slapping, by shaking an officer's hand. Now, this is not extraditable. However, some kind of conspiracy, a trumped-up conspiracy theory to the effect of mass murder plot against U.S. Officiates is. And now, on October 27th, I was abducted from my home as an extension of this attack, which took place in January 18th, 2006.
Okay, who came to your home?
Winnipeg police, acting at the behest of U.S. authorities,
okay,
who abducted me from my home, 8 guns pointed at my head, 12 hours interrogation, no food, no water, and during which I sustained taunts and threats of extradition to the United States, all unlawful because, of course, it's unwarranted. There were no charges or warrant which they came to my door, and I have currently been in hiding for a period of 2 months. We've just procured a lawyer, and now I'm able to finally conduct some sense of organized interview. I had done one interview from a payphone in minus 30 degree weather outside of a 7-Eleven at one point with Charles Boylan of Co-op Radio in Vancouver. So, having said that, and having now announced, as I will, that the Minneapolis police, who have just been exposed as having KKK affiliations and are being sued as such by one of the interdepartmental organizations. And having a website with my name on it, an FBI website with my name on it that has both FBI, Minneapolis Police, and Winnipeg Police listed, having had Winnipeg Police act illegally at the behest of U.S. authorities, which is exemplary of cross-border collusion, and the North American Union SPP mandate, which people may or may not be aware of.
They are on this network.
Yes. So these are all ideologies that are exemplary in our case. Now, having exposed these things, we are being attacked and framed. A smear campaign is obviously being put into the works, and more dangerous grounds under which to extradite me to the United States.
Now, let me slow you down here. You're moving rather rapidly. Now, the extradition, who are you a citizen of, Canada or the U.S.?
The United States.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm a citizen of Canada.
Okay, and you've got citizenship papers that proves this.
Yes.
Then why are you threatened with extradition to the United States?
Well, you can't be extradited on the basis of an ostensible misdemeanor, but I did not come back for quote-unquote sentencing when I was found guilty of this misdemeanor. Because we had been threatened, my family and I had collectively been threatened. 9/11 of this year, the cable to my building was cut. But going backtracking to the time of between the trial and the sentencing period, Chris Nissen, border personnel between the Canada-U.S. border of the United States, told me that I would have serious difficulties. Boy, when I come back to the border, they accused me of breaching the no-fly order for one thing, even though I had the ticket in my hand regarding the 14-hour bus ride that we'd had to take back to the Canada on the no-fly list.
When were you placed on the no-fly list?
After a 9-day interrogation during which FBI came into my cell. This was after I was left in the pool but on the aircraft. I was taken into hospital to close up the wound to my head that required 12 stitches after having been tased. And they did tase me on board the aircraft incessantly, over 10 seconds over the left chest in writing. They tried to kill me. And following that, they tried to do some cover-up story with my mother, who was there. They tried to actually ban her from coming off of the aircraft and tried to force her and confine her to the aircraft. But she insisted on coming, and there were witnesses, and so that didn't wash. But following this, I was interrogated. I was FBI, my calling card.
Okay, let me slow you down. You go to hospital.
Yes.
Okay, you get stitched up. What happens to you at that point?
From the hospital, I'm taken to the Hennepin County jail cell, where there are 21 blacks and Muslims for every one white imprisoned.
Mm-hmm.
And my calling card is deliberately disabled, which is illegal. At that point, FBI come into my cell to interrogate me, and where I'm accused of having radicalist jihad Islamic affiliations.
And did they present you with any information at that point in time of why they thought that you were some kind of jihadist?
Well, they asked me, do you know this person? And these are all Muslim and Eastern names, and they presented several photographs and whatnot. And are you sure? And basically, I had to spend my time professing to the fact that I have no link to, you know, to any of these associations, which they were inferring that I did.
Right.
Following this interrogation, and during this 9-day stay, in which there were no Miranda rights read to me any time, I sustained several threats upon my person. The idea of choking people out was alluded to numerous times in the elevator shaft, which, as I've come to understand, is a common ploy and tactic that they use to instill a general aura of intimidation in the jail systems. But following this, we were sent back on the no-fly list. There was a 14-hour bus ride that ensued. When we got back to Canada, we found none other than FBI agent Mark Wrench waiting for us at home, illegally in Canada, one of over 135 illegal counts of FBI involvement, of FBI presence on Canadian soil, which is more evidence of the illegal collusion between Canada, U.S., and whatnot, and the North American Union mandate
coming
into effect.
James, if this was under the guise of terrorism, guess what? They don't have to read you the rights. They don't have to do anything.
Mm.
I mean, you're lucky you didn't end up in Guantanamo Bay just for giddy ha-has with these clowns. And that's,
right.
It's not a joke.
No, I understand that. And there are many other things that aren't particularly amusing. When we got back, we found FBI agent Mark Wrench outside our home. He had been stalking me and whatnot. From there, friends, family, and associates were terrorized during the time between the attack and this trial date that was coming up. And five plea bargains were put in during that time, as if to say, sign here and we'll stop terrorizing you. The threats and terror that I allude to came in the following forms: phone line tapping, voicemail deletions, threatening messages left for a particular friend of mine. Two, in fact, one who had all their voicemail messages deleted, viruses sent. I received several online threats on my website from self-identifying FBI agents, 94349 and whatnot. An or else message was left for Alan Bright, a friend of mine. My legal mail, and this was registered legal mail, arrived parched and empty. And they had at one point a message from Canada Post on the exterior saying, "We apologize for this incident." They actually cut the cable to my building, as I discussed before, on 9/11 of this year,
to send me a
message. And October 27th, finally they just came to my door with weapons and guns pointed at my head, telling me what might happen to me. Maybe perhaps they should keep me locked up here for their friends in Minneapolis who come up regularly to train with the Winnipeg police, so they told me, which is interesting, and that the United States has quote-unquote unfinished business with you. These were their comments.
Okay, so, now let's go back to the plane. Now, you had Officer Wingate, you had Officer, I think his name is Horrett, Officer Swigert, Officer Milton, and Officer Cooper. Who was the lead cop in this gaggle?
That would have been Officer Milton.
Okay. Now, and this is the same, and they approached you when you're seated in your seat next to your mother. And he came up to you and he said, "Sir, we'd like you to get out of your seat and stand in the aisle."
Right.
And you, at that point in time...
Capitulated.
You got up out of your chair, you stood in the aisle, and the Officer Milton said, "We'd like you to pick up your things and come with us." Now, you asked the obvious question at that point, "Am I under arrest?
Am I under arrest? Am I being charged? Have I committed any crime?" Those are my three questions.
And he responded, "No, you're not under arrest." Okay, sounds hunky-dory so far. And then you asked, again, "Am I being charged with a crime?" And he said, "No, sir, there are no charges against you. We just want you to come with us."
And by the way, the "sir" was definitely for public display.
I'm sure it was. They are rather polite to their people they're trying to harass. Now everything so far is not threatening. Everything at this point in time is still a solvable situation. A conversation or two could ensue at this point. This whole thing could be diffused. The cops could get off the airplane, and you and your mother could go about your business. But that is not what happened. Please continue.
That was their original intent, because
right.
In their written statements, they said that once they got on board the aircraft and saw me, they'd already made the decision to attack. That was in their written statements in an interdepartmental police report that we found evidence for discovery. They already intended to when I looked at James, etc., I did not feel comfortable with him coming off the aircraft, and I instructed officers Swaggart, I'm just quoting from memory here, to cuff James as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So this was in their own written reports.
Okay, so the exchange, then you ask the important question, which just pulled, it just unraveled them to no end. You ask, then may I ask you on whose authority I'm being asked to leave this aircraft?
And I said, and I was very careful to, in choosing my words, not what authority, because that might be seen as contentious, but no, I had the last words that I had made to the stewardess when she'd left is, I will be writing a formal and detailed complaint when I get to the other side. Before we were attacked, my mother and I, before the police officer came on board the aircraft, we had already made the decision collectively to leave the aircraft should there be such an altercation as was unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
My question was not on whose, on what authority, but on whose authority is this act being carried out, because I wanted to be able to list them in the lawsuit that I intended to pursue thereafter.
Right.
I didn't get that question answered. What I got was an attack. They lunged at the very injured arm, my right arm, that had required surgery and still does, in fact. And I pulled the arm back, which is a natural instinctive reaction, given the fact that the surgeon had indicated that further damage might be irreversibly damaging.
Mm-hmm.
And they lunged in at me further, but now with a taser, because the officer pulled back and yelled, taser at the top of his lungs. Well, I began blocking the taser, and this was done without contacting the officers involved, and I stopped because the thought very quickly came to my mind, if I don't allow them to tase me, then the next alternative is going to perhaps be even more permanent,
right,
and they might shoot me.
Right.
And I actually put my hands to my side. The officer looked taken aback for a moment, and then he came back to his senses and said, well, okay, that's fine. I guess I was going to tase you then. And so he did, and I fully expected that. And I went down very hard. I hit my head in the side panel there and sustaining the contusion that required 12 stitches to close, and most of the blood, that stain that you'll see on the shirt that's scanned in on the website, although there was some release of blood from the contusions that were left on my abdomen and my chest where they held the taser for over 10 seconds at their own written admission. And I went down underneath this taser and I kept my hands to my side very deliberately and pointedly to try to display a measure of compliance, and I expected that that's where it would stop. It did not. The officer knelt down and, again, at their own admission in writing, held the taser over my left chest for a period of 10 seconds. To this day, I have the burn marks on my skin as evidence of the length of time it was held and the brutality involved. And I got up of my own accord once they asked me to. I was threatened with this taser treatment repeatedly thereafter. Are you going to get up or are we going to have to tase you? Don't move or we'll tase you, et cetera, et cetera. And I complied. I actually gave them my hands of my own accord just so they could handcuff me. And they walked me off the aircraft. But this is that moment. My mother, and this gets back to that pivotal moment that we talked about earlier,
mm-hmm,
identified herself. And again, it's ironic that given their own predisposition towards racial disharmony, disparity, discrimination. They were not aware that my mother was sitting beside me because her skin complexion is lighter than my own. She is Caucasian, purely, and I am a mix.
Mm-hmm.
They were aghast.
This is where things started to go wrong, very wrong for them, because, well, and let me encapsulate this, folks. People, this is intimidation, pure and simple. This is a show of force and authority. And most people are intimidated about that. Most people will not come to the aid of another person that's in distress, being attacked, mugged, raped, whatever the case may be. They'll go about their merry way. If they see a crime being committed, and whether it's by somebody supposedly that's not a criminal wearing a badge or an identifiable thug, people still will not get involved. This was not a good thing for them because all of a sudden they realized they had made a major oversight, that you had an eyewitness and it happened to be blood.
Yes, yes, exactly. And just before I move on, I'm just trying to put some background on this as I go further because there's so many side points to this. There have been two attacks at the airport that we know of since then, and the same officer has been involved in both of them, Brad Wingate, Officer 4289, one on the six EMIMs in December of 2006, and one in March 2006, and one in December 2006 on a 130-pound Caucasian violinist for the Minneapolis Opera, who was trying to leave his bike legally, leave the airport legally on his bike. His name is Stephen Orsic. In any case, that same police department again has now been exposed as having KKK affiliations, and has actually denounced Minneapolis Congressman Keith Ellison as a terrorist. That's coming from senior Minneapolis police officer Robert Kroll, who again sports a white power badge on his shirt and is a crony of the chief, Tim Dolan. But these are some of the demographics. So I'll continue with the story now, unless you had any questions.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, again, my mother announces that she is, in fact, my mother, which they're aghast, and internally they're thinking, well, we don't see this in Minneapolis. We have segregation here for that. Again, 21 blacks, one to every one white within the cells. And she said, they tried to insist immediately, well, she insisted she would come off the aircraft, and immediately they responded, thinking, well, this person is a dangerous witness. We have to cover this up. We have to do whatever we can. They ended up altering their police reports. Only 3 or 5 reports were submitted. They didn't give her their names. They only gave her 4 or 5 badge numbers. They tried to pretend there was only 4 officers on the aircraft when there were 5. They rearranged their positions and all that and so forth. But at the time, they tried to confine her to the aircraft, and she insisted that she would come. She said, no, I'm his mother. I'm coming, and that's final. And they just looked aghast with their mouths hanging.
And that's mom's authority.
Yes.
Okay, hold on 1 second, James. We've got to take this break. And we'll take phone calls into the next hour at 800-313-9443. Ladies and gentlemen, we are entering into this police state with a mentality that you are a potential terrorist and you've got to be dealt with extraordinary measures. In other words, shoot first, ask questions later. We'll be right back.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Perculite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perculite, with its exclusive black Perky filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Perculite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Perculite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for this sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we are back. Aaron, the situation. Now, you mentioned, when did this incident happen?
And that brings me to my next point. There are two websites, and each delineate only one of the two. The second website delineates both attacks, but the original incident took place January 18th of 2006.
Okay.
That was at the behest of Minneapolis Airport Police, working in conjunction with a corporate mogul, Northwest Airlines, who has open affiliations with the CIA in the context of a 6,000 CD release to the CIA, FBI, and NSA collectively.
All right.
The second attack is not linked to the first website, which is where I need to interject and state that there is a rather cumbersome URL. It's on an indie media site, but a simple Google search to the following effect will find it for you. I'd like to give that Google search here, and if I could.
Okay.
Simply enter in Aaron James Story, which is the crux of the first website, aaronjamesstory.com. Leave out the .com, just so it's simply Aaron James Story. Leave a space, and then enter in the word Dan, D as in Delta, A-N as in Nancy. Leave a space, and then finally enter in the word McTeague, capital M as in Mary, well, it's K, not case sensitive, C as in Charlie, T as in Tom, E-A, G as in George, U, E.
Okay.
And that, incidentally, Aaron James Story space, Dan space McTeague. McTeague is the Canadians Abroad representative for Canada, who collectively, along with the Canadian consulate, has left us bereft to the United States. The Canadian consulate, let us know if they torture you or ask you to commit any indecent acts as I'm being interrogated by FBI. Did not come to my aid, did not respond in the way in which they're legally required to do so, according to the none other than Dan McTeague's assistant, Glenn Bradbury, and Raymond Samard, MP, who said that's, quote, a bunch of bullshit, while himself telling us that we should go and speak to the RCMP and law enforcement, who were ironically attacking me the very next day on October 27th of this year. Okay. But that having been said, a Google search underneath that criteria will find you the October 27th of this year attack, now only a little bit more than 1 month ago, prior, which had the Winnipeg police acting at the behest of U.S. authorities in an overt case, exemplary of cross-border collusion, as an extension of the North American Union SPP mandate that encapsulates and subjugates all the citizens within North America under this militarized agenda, where martial law is very slowly but surely being fully implemented. And just so that the people know who it is I'm dealing with as I'm facing this frame up and extradition to most likely I consider my death. Minneapolis police, again, known with the KKK associations, I've already delineated that. The Winnipeg police are no less tyrannical. This is an excerpt from Winnipeg police, which can be found by doing a Google search, Winnipeg police, racist, and incidentally, the KKK association with Minneapolis police, just entering in Tim Dolan KKK or Minneapolis police KKK, you'll find that. The people who attacked me at the behest of the United States on October 27th, the capacity of Winnipeg police. Here's an excerpt. Jerry Woods, the Manitoba Human Rights Commission representative, accuses Winnipeg police of being racist and abusive and says there's profound distrust of police among the city's black and Aboriginal communities. They range from accounts of starlight tours where people say they were driven to the city's edge and forced to walk home barefoot to tales of rape and brutality. They raped me, took turns with them, and said they were cruel and disgusting. When they were finished with me there, I had to find my way back. I've never told this to anyone. One speaks of having been taken outside the city, where, quote, they were both raped and forced to walk home without their jackets. Another individual describes having had his fingers fractured, his face blinded him, his fingers broken. I got chased. Police were laughing at the whole time. I feel like Aboriginals have no rights and are treated like nothing. And it goes on. And that's just one of the incidents. They recently arrested a CBC reporter for trying to report on their interaction with the Hell's Angels, and didn't like being videotaped for some reason. I think, by extension, the conclusion that one can have there is. Well, it's very telling. They are not the people who administrate to the law. They are the ones who, at the behest of government and judiciary, break the law. They're the extension of tyranny.
Okay, Darren, hang on. We got a break, top of the hour break. 800-313-9443. The lines are open. With